This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The big news out of Lansing this week was Governor Rick Snyder's eighth and final budget. The fiscal year 2019 budget is $56.8 billion, and that's just a slight increase over the previous fiscal year. Here to talk about that are Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the Senate. He joins us by Skype. So, Vicki, what caught your attention in the governor's budget proposal?
There were three things. One was increased foundation allowance per pupil, a rather dramatic increase considering what's been going on for the last decade, to get our per pupil funding for public education much higher. It's a $240 proposed increase per pupil for the lowest foundation allowance and $120 for the highest. That's very good news. The other thing that caught my eye was Governor Snyder wants a lot more money for roads, approaching almost $1 billion for this year. I hope he gets it from the legislature. We need a lot more than that. So this is just a drop in the bucket compared to our needs, but a very good start. And then finally, the third thing was following up on his State of the State address regarding toxic cleanup. He proposes to increase landfill dumping fees and a up to $5 per year phased-in fee on water bills for water customers. That's going to be a very, very heavy lift, and I'm interested to see how this plays out.
Ken, schools, roads, fees for environmental protection, what caught your eye?
I agree with Vicki on those big issues. One thing that caught my eye was the corrections budget. You know, I think Lansing's finally getting some control on that budget. He announced the closing of a prison in Muskegon, and that's how you save money, and primarily because the prison population is below 40,000 now for the first time in 25 years, I believe. And
you know, I think if people saw the pie chart of the budget and saw how much goes to corrections, they'd be really surprised.
Yeah, and that's been a sore point for a number of years, and I think getting smart about crime has finally joined with getting tough on crime, and the taxpayers are seeing some dividends over that. I think that's good. I agree with Vicki on all of her points. The environmental cleanup and money for water infrastructure is an important issue, and she's right, in my opinion, that it's a heavy lift because these are fee increases. But the fact of the matter is the need for environmental cleanup, contaminated sites around the state, and the need to improve drinking water infrastructure isn't going away, and it will cost money. So if you don't like these fee increases, what taxes or fees do you embrace to solve those two problems?
Here's what I'm curious about. Vicki, when you were in the legislature, how much attention do members pay to the governor's budget? I mean, is it accepted as, okay, this is the framework we start, or is it, okay, we've got our own priorities, we're not going to worry about that?
It's both, but don't forget, whatever the legislature decides to do, the governor still has to sign off on. So there's always been this desire to have both the House and the Senate and the governor work together. Now, last year, Governor Snyder proposed to cut cyber school funding, and that didn't pan out at the end of the day. He's proposing it again, a little higher cut from 80% that he proposed last year on per pupil in cyber schools to 75%, and we'll see what happens with that. But the legislature does have the final say, and all of this is in a backdrop of what the governor wants to increase spending for, faced with a legislature that's still bent on cutting taxes, increasing the personal exemption over the $4,500 that the governor has recommended to $5,000. The legislature still wants to increase the child credit and the child care credit and a few other things that help working families. Don't forget, this is an election year for the legislature. Both the Senate and the House are up. So you're going to have those two competing interests from a governor who has prided himself on trying to control the budget and a legislature that still wants to cut taxes, thinking that's the best way to spend people's money is to give it back to them. all during the governor's time in office, we've still had a massive problem with underground infrastructure, which is water and sewer lines and pipelines, and a massive deterioration of our roads. So we'll see how this works. I'm hoping the governor wins some of these arguments because I think it's important for our state.
Ken, how do you think the legislature will handle the governor's budget priorities?
Well, it's always give and take, but at the end of the day, the governor's budget is always the basic template and the framework, and governors tend to get the majority of what they seek, but it is give and take. There's no question about it. The dynamic, as Vicki pointed out, is going to be the desire for tax cuts versus the needs expressed in this executive budget.
One other thing of note happened this week. Governor Snyder declared an end to the privatization of food services for the state's prisons. As the Free Press reporter Paul Egan wrote, it was a, quote, a four-year experiment with privatizing its prison food service after many years of maggots in food, smuggling by kitchen employees, kitchen workers having sex with inmates, inadequate staffing levels, and other problems. Most of that was revealed by Egan's reporting over the years. Vicki, using private vendors was supposed to save the state a lot of money. What happened?
Well, I never supported the privatization. I always thought it was going to be a problem. The Department of Corrections, the correctional officers who work in those prisons every day, were very concerned from the get-go about security in the prisons and adequate staffing. They knew what they were talking about. They knew what we would face, and they were absolutely correct. So we're finally listening to the people who work in our prisons every day to make sure we get back to proper staffing of our kitchens. And aside from all of the problems you talked about with workers and maggots, and we tried this with two vendors. This wasn't just a one-vendor experiment. This was a two-vendor experiment, and the most chronic problem that always showed up was inadequate staffing. And we never had that problem when we had state workers in our prisons serving prison food. So I'm glad that we've decided to go back to what I originally thought was the right thing, as did most of the Democrats in the legislature. Privatization is not the be-all and end-all of everything. And in this case, it was glaringly apparent from the beginning that this wasn't going to work.
Ken, how much value do you think there was in trying privatizing something like food services in prison?
Well, according to the Department of Corrections, they did save money, but it just wasn't worth it in terms of the staffing and performance issues that you and Vicki have already mentioned. Now, it's a lesson learned. It doesn't mean that the desire for privatization of some state services is going to go away, but it's a cautionary tale and a red flag that it doesn't always work under all circumstances. But was it worth the experiment? I think a lot of Republicans are going to say it was worth going down that path, but let's chalk it up as a lesson learned.
Well, the two experiments we tried, one was in prisons and the other was in a veterans home, both were miserable failures. This isn't an isolated incident where you're just talking about two vendors in prisons, but we also had problems at our VA facility. It's a broader problem, and there's always a desire to save money, but at what human cost and what costs that occur because of the privatization, and I think that's important. You don't always get what you need from the lowest bidder.
You know, if the legislature asked me, and they won't, but if they asked me what the lesson is, it's big privatization projects dealing with what I would call vulnerable populations are very risky. Smaller privatization projects in other arenas of state government might be better places to try.
That makes me think of the big proposal to privatize mental health services. That's exactly what you two have been talking about.
Right.
Vulnerable populations. All right. That is Ken Sikkema. He's a former Republican legislator, and Vicki Barnett, a former Democratic legislator. Thanks to both of you. Hope you're somewhere warm watching the snow fall and not out in it. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Thanks, Lester.
Yeah, thank you, Lester.